last Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah. To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. This is your humble host, Zainab. Dear listeners, we had been talking about the various tricks that the false claimants of Mehdi use in order to trap innocent people. And on that note, we have with us in our studio Dr. Murtaza Karimi. Assalamu alaikum, doctor.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Dr. Karimi, it's a pleasure to have you again on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Karimi, as we had been talking about these tricks, the false claimants of Mehdi use in order to trap people, we talked about one of the tricks in the previous episode, that was istikhara, which means kind of, you know, taking answer from God when people are confused a lot about taking decision. And then they use Quran in order to get the answer from Allah.
That's true, yeah.
Now, I would want you to expand these same tricks. Are there any more tricks these claimants use in order to trap people?
Yes, sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you rightly mentioned, we refer to a few of them. And unfortunately, there are some more to it.
A number of tricks.
Inshallah, we are going to discuss about them so that we can give a true understanding of the true ways of recognizing the Imam, so that inshallah our dear listeners may be away from these so-called false claimants. Now, one of the tricks that is used by these false claimants, we call it to write a kind of arida. But before I talk about how they mislead the people through this trick, it's necessary for me to explain about what is Arida all about.
Yeah.
Because there are some narrations regarding Arida. We have, some reports in our collection of hadith. So first we need to know the reality of Arida. It is from the word, from the root arid, which means to present something to another person, for example. Technically speaking, Arida is a kind of tawassul, resorting to the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt. It is a kind of dua, prayer, supplication. So sometimes you, utter the words, utter your requests, but Arida is in the form of a written text.
Mm-hmm.
You write down your request on a paper, and then there are some supplications to be read and recited, and then you throw that piece of paper, for example, to a river or to a well.
So this is how you rely on Imam or like whoever you want to rely on. You write a letter, you kind of put your, whatever you want to say, you put it on the letter and then you throw it in the river, and this is called Arida.
This is called Arida or writing Arida. Now, first of all, we need to find that whether it is to begin with an Islamic way for tawassul or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are discussions regarding this, and
of
then
course
we'll go to the what is done by the false claimants. Of course, at the time of the presence of the Imams, the Shia used to write letters, in person, and the Imams received the letters and answered them back. We are talking about our time, the period of major occultation. We have no access to the Imam of the time, may Allah hasten his reappearance. And we see some people writing down their requests, whatever they like to tell the Imam of the time, and then they throw that into a river or a well. Some people have, dedicated a special place for that. Inshallah, I will talk about that. The first one that I would like to mention is that it's not something new in the religion of Islam, because some people accuse Shia of bringing kind of bid'ah or innovation in the form of writing the Arida. This is not true. We see it still come on, especially among the Jews. In Beit al-Maqdis or Jerusalem, there is a wall which is known as the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall. We call it in Persian the Wall of Nutba. Mm-hmm. And we see that still people go there and they write down their requests and put it in the cracks in the in that wall. Mm-hmm. So it was something common before the religion of Islam. It's not something innovated by the Shia. Now, whether it is mentioned in the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt or not as a way of communication of the Shia at the time of the major occultation with the imam, their imams or not, there are some narrations in this regard. I mean, the narrations explain how Arida should be written, what are the conditions for which we are able to write Arida, what is the supplication for it, and so on and so forth. But the point is that, according to some scholars, we cannot find even one absolutely authentic narration in all the narrations quoted about Arida. For example, one of the points is that the oldest source that has quoted some narrations about that is the book by Erbili, who passed away in 692. Mm-hmm. And before him, no other Shia scholar has mentioned that. And the other quotes are from Kafa'ami, who passed away in 905 after Hijrah. The other problem is with the chain of the narrations.
Okay.
I mean, the chain is not complete. So technically speaking, the narrations are mursal, meaning that some of the narrators are not...
We cannot rely on them.
Yeah, so we cannot rely on the narrations. Also, Allama Majlisi has quoted two narrations about Arida from a book, Atiq Gharawi, but today we do not have access to this book, so we cannot rely on these two narrations as well. So if we want to talk about the authenticity of this way of tawassul from a Shia perspective, the point is that we cannot attribute it in a certain manner to the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, because, as I mentioned, the narrations are weak. So we cannot call it an Islamic tradition or even a Shia tradition to do that. But then, does it mean that it is a kind of innovation or bid'ah? Again, the answer is negative. We cannot call it a kind of innovation.
Okay.
Rather, we can do that. Technically, they call it for the hope of, getting reward. Mm-hmm. So it's not a recommended action rooted in authentic narrations. But because we have, although some weak narrations, the scholars say that for the recommended actions, we do tasamuh, a kind of so-called tolerance, for example, meaning that still for the recommended actions, we also, refer to the weak narrations as well. So from that perspective, we can say that people can do that, can write Arida, hoping that it is an act of worship, an act of tawassul.
An act of relying,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
So you're trying to say we have this Arida kind of thing in religion, which cannot be said that it's an innovation, and at the same time, we don't have very strong narrations supporting that.
Yeah.
Dr. Karimi, I'll be talking to you here. We need to take a short break. The listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I can hear your voice like a whisper calling me in the wind. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old pain.
Welcome back. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. We are talking about the tricks used by false claimants of Mahdawiyyat who claim to be attached to Imam Mahdi Ajallullah Ta'ala Faraja. Dr. Karimi, you told us about Arida, which is not an innovation, which at the same time is not very much recorded in authentic narrations. Mm-hmm. Now, how do these claimants use this process as a trick.
So the conclusion that I tried to draw from what I mentioned before the break was that, first of all, people should not think that it is based on very strong narrations, and at the same time, people should not go to another extreme and call it an innovation.
Or a bidah.
So it's very important for people not to go to extreme, because sometimes we have some people who call it a kind of superstition. This is not the case. Some people go to extreme and they believe that there are special places that are mentioned in the narrations. We need to put the arila and the text only in those places. And one of them is, let me also talk about that before answering your question. One of them is, or rather was, a well in the Holy Mosque of Jamkaran.
All right.
And for many years, people used to go to that well and used to
write down there.
Yeah, and throw down the arila into the well.
Right.
And gradually speaking, some non-Shia began to accuse the Shia that they are after superstitions. Even they forged some lies. For example, they said that some Shia believes that Imam Mahdi is reciting in that well. He himself is receiving the letters which are thrown
so
down.
So now the Shias were attributed with so many superstitious things.
That's the point. So what I mentioned, that we shouldn't go to extreme, that will maybe was one of the causes for that, because some people went to extreme. Some people, of course, they were very few in number, but they thought that there is something special for that will, which was not the case. And some people might even may have expected to see Imam Mahdi alayhi salam in that will, and so on and so forth.
Oh my God.
So you see, gradually speaking, it is bringing a kind of wrong understanding of the reality for the lovers of Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. So is there anything specific for that will? No. It was just a well like the other wells. And according to some people, even there was no water in it. So if this is the case, even based on the narrations of Harila, you are not able to throw the Harila into that well.
You are supposed to throw an Ariza. Even if you're writing it, it should be like running water
or
something.
Yeah, running water, yeah. Mm. So that is why a few years ago, people in charge of the Mosque of Jamkaran decided to close that section of Jamkaran altogether, so that, I mean, they prevent these accusations against the Shia school of thought, and I think we need to appreciate that work.
Right.
So we should not go to extreme. But what is the philosophy of that? Let me also refer to this point that, I mean, psychologically speaking, we may think of some positive points. We are living in a time that we have no access to the Imam of the time. Sometimes when you are in much trouble, just to write a letter to the Imam of the time, it is, I mean, relieving you of your anxieties.
Have you ever written an Ariza?
Maybe when I was between 15 or to 17 years of old, it was the beginning years that I came to the Hauza Seminary of
Qom. Right.
And I saw that people are doing that in the Mosque of Jamkaran. I think I did that once, maybe.
All right.
Yeah.
So.
But at that time, it was not that famous among the people. Only few people knew about that and used to do that. So my point is that even psychologically speaking, there is something positive in writing Harida. Although we may talk to Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, but some people may prefer to write down their problems, their requests, or even a kind of friendly talk to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, and just throw it in the water, hoping that, I mean, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will receive that, metaphorically speaking. So I mean that it shouldn't be looked as a kind of superstition.
Even we have so many religious narrations, narrations exactly, but we have some way out of coming out of backbiting. For example, when your heart is filled, you are troubled enough, and now you want to speak to someone. So it's better, like, if you start speaking to a person after somebody's back, and now, in order to, like, lighten up your heart, so that way you're indulging yourself into backbiting. But the best way to lighten up your heart is to write an Ariza, I guess.
That's true. That's true.
Dr. Murtaza will be talking about these tricks in the next episode. Thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure.
To listeners, you were listening to IRIB English Radio. I bid you a goodbye from my side and Dr. Murtaza's side. Take care till next episode.